Right, this morning we're going to finish our series on living in hope. This is the final part. And this is a quote that I found this week, which I found quite interesting. So this is from Daisaku Ikeda, and he said this. He said, "Hope changes everything. It changes winter into summer, darkness into dawn, descent into ascent, barrenness into creativity, agony into joy." It's pretty well documented that hope does change things. It changes your perspective. It changes the way you see things, and it brings a sense of purpose and direction to your life. The question is, though, ultimately, what are you hoping in, or what are you hoping for? In Proverbs 11, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life." And that's true, isn't it? If we hope for something and it doesn't happen, it can be quite devastating at times. So the question is, what are we hoping in? Are we hoping for something that is secure or isn't secure? And Peter, who wrote the letter that we've been looking at, 1 Peter, he wanted to ensure that the churches in Asia Minor, which is generally modern day Turkey, were hoping in Jesus Christ. He started his letter, you might remember, a few weeks ago when we started, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Why is it a living hope? "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." He's writing because he wants them to place their faith and to place their hope in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, a past event that's happened that's changed everything, but then enables us to know that the future events that are spoken about in the Bible, Jesus coming back again, that is secure. That's definitely going to happen. And those who place their faith in Jesus will receive a reward. And he wants them to stay focused on that. He calls them aliens and exiles, reminding them that this world is not your home. This is not your home. You're living for that time with God in the future. And we're going to finish this morning. And this morning I've called the title, same as the series, Living in Hope. Now I ask a question, how do we live day by day in hope of that great eternal salvation that we have coming? We're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. So I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 to the end. It says this, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting you and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ." This is the letter written by Peter, and Peter is writing from Rome. He calls it Babylon, but that's that picture of the sense of evil. The Roman Empire was considered Babylon, and we see that through a number of New Testament letters. And he said, I've written to you briefly, exhorting you and declaring that this is the true grace of God. He wants to declare to them the true grace of God, that even though they suffer, that God is still with them and that he is helping them to walk the path and to know him, and that our suffering in this life does not change our eternal destiny in Christ Jesus. And there's four things that I want to pull out from these final verses here. And the first thing is that we need to cast our anxieties on him. If we want to live in hope, if we want to live each day in that great living hope of Jesus Christ, we need to learn to cast our anxieties on him. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves by casting your anxieties on him. The previous verse said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One of the ways that we deal with our anxiety is dealing with pride. Now, I've not made this connection before, and it's quite an interesting connection. I think, wow. But actually, if we're not willing to cast our anxieties on Jesus, and we're not willing to keep going to him, and we're struggling with them inside, what we're actually saying is we're saying that I need to sort out all my problems. And one of the ways we stop that is we cast our anxieties. We recognize our own weakness and failures, and we say that we need God and we need him to help us. And if you're struggling with anxiety, which many, many do, it's really helpful to know that the root of this is a sense of pride and a sense of self-dependence. And as you work through those challenges of anxiety, you need to just get to that place where you constantly say, no, God, I want to learn to rely on you. Help me to rely on you. It's so key. And sometimes just finding the root of the problem helps you as you seek to battle against it. I've got a quote here from Tim Chester. And where did I put it? It says, our culture tries to overcome this problem by finding ways to bolster self-esteem. But this actually compounds the problem. We become dependent on whatever or whomever will boost our self-esteem. He says, in reality, low self-esteem is thwarted pride. We don't have the status we deserve. We elevate desires that are often good in themselves, for love or affirmation or respect, to the levels of needs without which we cannot be whole. We talk of needing the approval or acceptance of others, but our true need is to glorify God and love people. He continues, and I will continue with that a little bit later. But the challenge with our anxieties and the battle is, does God really care? You have these two truths playing off against each other. Does God really care? And can God do something about it? And both are true. So God really does care. God can do something about it. But God, in his infinite wisdom, which is greater than ours, decides for a time that we can go through times of suffering and trial. And that's quite a challenge. But what we see, and we're going to start a new series next week called Life Hacks, and we're going to look through some of the Psalms. And what we see in the Psalms is we see the outworking of this. We see the outworking of casting our anxieties, our challenges, our struggles onto God. And the passage that this is sort of referencing is Psalm 55. And we'll just go there. And I just wanted to pick out a few verses from it. This, and it says, my heart is in anguish. This is from David. Within me, the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away and would lodge in the wilderness. I can recognise that in times of trouble, that desire to get away. He continues, verses 16 to 17. But I call to the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. And then verse 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. It's just helpful as we consider how we can live in hope day by day. We need to constantly be getting before God and casting our anxieties on him, particularly in this time of challenge that we're facing with a global pandemic and the constant changing of situations. We need to be constantly getting before God and casting our anxieties onto him, because he cares for you. The second thing that Peter speaks about here is standing firm in your faith. He talks about being sober-minded, being watchful, being aware of the times, being aware that God, that Jesus is coming again, knowing that the time is short, knowing that we are living for that future. We are aliens and exiles. He speaks about those things. He speaks about knowing that we have an enemy, your adversary. The devil prowls round like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. We have an enemy. And it's really important that day by day that we know that we're not living on neutral ground. We're not living in a safe zone. We are at war day by day, and we have an enemy who's seeking to devour. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of his strategies. And a lot of those are quite subliminal. He uses our thoughts at times to bring us down. Those anxieties can be used to stop us being fruitful. And we need to be aware. We have an enemy. Resist him. Resist those thoughts. Resist the things that we know that he's doing in our lives. We need to be aware. It's a bit like if you're in a fight. Now, I don't know much about martial arts or fighting, but I do know that there are specific rules to each discipline. If you're boxing, you are not allowed to bite. You're not allowed to kick. You're not allowed to use your elbow. There's specific rules as to the way to engage. If you thought you were turning up to a boxing match and then the person started kicking and flinging and biting, you wouldn't be ready. And we need to be ready for the battle that we're going to face. We're told our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers in the heavenly realms. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware that we are fighting day by day against an enemy. And that's one way that we will stand firm in our faith. We will resist the onslaught of the enemy. And we need each other to do this. We need to resist his lies. And Peter finishes just near the end in verse 12. He says, stand firm in it. Stand firm in the grace of God. We need to stand firm in our faith. Day by day, when we face the challenges, stand firm in our faith. So key. The third thing, know that we're not alone. He says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not on your own. When you go through times of hardship and suffering, you're not on your own. You might feel like you're on your own. It might feel quite isolating, but actually you're not on your own. There are many others who are struggling with issues of faith, who are facing times of persecution, of suffering. There are many others, and it's really important to know that. The enemy wants to isolate us from others. But when we recognise that actually we are with a brotherhood, we are with the church worldwide who are holding on to God's purposes and making strides forward, steps forwards, despite suffering and trials and persecutions. The thing we need to do is we need to be connected to a church. If you're a Lone Ranger Christian, if you say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church, I don't really bother with that, then actually when trials come your way, you're going to feel very isolated. And you were never saved to be on your own. You were saved. It says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her. You were saved to be part of God's people. And it's as we're part of God's people and as we connect with each other through a conversation, through our midweek groups, through the socials, through the things we do, as we stay connected with each other, we can walk those journeys and those paths that are more difficult together. And we recognise that actually, if I'm struggling, there are others who are also struggling. And as I recognise that, that helps me and helps them that we can keep walking forwards and keep resisting the enemy together. The second thing that we can do to help remind ourselves that we're not alone in suffering is be connected to an organisation, some information where we can understand more about the persecuted church. When we understand what others are going through for their faith and the way that they're standing firm, it inspires us in our own challenges. I know Release have done a number of events in Orpington over the last few years, and the speakers come in who have been in prison for their faith, who have faced persecution in a very real way, and hearing their testimony, hearing the way that they hold firm, hearing the way that they experience God inspires us, and they have a something to share with us in the West who generally don't face a huge amount of physical persecution. They have something to say to us and to challenge us and to help us get our priorities right in our lives and to know what's really important. And I want to encourage you, if you've never gone on to Release's website or connected with some of the stuff that they've got, it's really important. It really helps us to know what others are going through, to pray for them, to be with them in their trials, but also it impacts upon our lives in incredible ways. And Peter's saying this, he's saying, hey, you want to live in hope, you need to know, you cast your anxieties on him, you need to stand firm in the faith, you need to know that you're not alone. And the final thing he wants to say is that God will rescue you. In verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, Peter doesn't say, does that happen now in this life, or does that happen in the future? He doesn't specify. And for some of us, we may go through times of trial when there will be a time in this life where we feel that we are restored, where we feel that we have gone through that time and we have come out the other side. And it feels like an open space. It feels like there's grace. It feels like it's time to rest. It feels like it's almost like half time. You know, you've done the hard work and there's a bit of breathing space. Some of us will get that. Some may struggle throughout our lives. Paul spoke, prayed to God. He said he spoke about a thorn in his flesh. And he said, 3 times I asked him to remove it. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul knew, I've got to walk with this. I've got to walk each day with this. And will God have restored him, strengthened him and established him? Yes. When he's with Jesus, and when Jesus returns, we'll have that great moment. So whether God does it now or whether he does it in eternity, we know that God will do that. That's his promise to us, that he will rescue us, that he will keep us safe. And that's so encouraging, because whatever we face in this life, we're aliens and exiles, and our true home is with Jesus. And Peter just finishes this kind of section, and then he sort of continues. He says, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it's really important that we're reminded that actually this is about God. This is about his glory. This is about his plan. This is about his fame. That our lives find their meaning when we find our purpose in giving him the glory. This is not about our own comfort. This is about the glory of King Jesus. And it's as we live our lives setting our hope on the living hope, Jesus Christ, and we seek to glorify him and to live our lives in praise and worship of him, that we find our place in his plan. And how, as I was reading this, I was just reminded, right at the end, he says, peace to all of you who are in Christ. And he started with, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And God wants to come and bring us peace today. And I really felt as I prepared this that there is an opportunity, there is a moment in God for us to come before him and to cast our anxiety afresh on him. To spend some time getting close to God and drawing near to him. And in a moment, I'm going to play a song that will come up on your screen. And I want to encourage you just to respond to him. There may be some real anxieties that you're battling with at the minute, and just to get before him and cry out to him. We saw that in the Psalms. They just cry out to God, just giving it over to him. Just use your own language, use your own speech. Just get before God. God cares for you and he wants to meet with you. And maybe for some of us, we just recognize, hey, actually, I do recognize that. Actually, I feel like I need to be in control. And we just want to release that control again to God and give it over to him. So I'm going to just press that video now. And I just encourage you just to take some time to just respond to him. Just talk to him.
It's hard.
Yeah, Lord, we recognise that need to cast our cares on your shoulders. Lord, thank you that you care for us. Lord, you are responsible for the whole world, the whole cosmos, yet you care for each one of us, and that's incredibly humbling. But Lord, we want to be those who constantly cast our cares and our anxieties onto you. Lord, would you help us day by day as we are concerned for things, whether that be at home, in our family, whether that be at work, whether that be money, Lord, whether that be other things. Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, would you help us just to constantly place those cares and those concerns into your hands, knowing that we are not supposed to do this by ourselves. We're not supposed to grit our teeth and be strong, Lord. We know that we are weak, but it's in our weakness that we experience your strength and your power. And we ask you, Lord, would you strengthen and empower each and every one of us? We pray in the name of Jesus, for the sake of your kingdom and your glory, Lord. As we live those lives, as we live in hope, Lord, they are a powerful witness to the world around us, that there is a Saviour who changes lives, who changes destinies. And Lord, we thank you. We say that you deserve the glory. You deserve the honour, Lord. You deserve the glory as the one who carries our cares, who carries our burdens. Lord, we praise you. Amen.